Praise be Jesus and Mary. For what sin was this rich man damned, basically? Because here, this particular translation talks about the netherworld. Other translations use the word Hades in the sense of hell. So, he's basically damned. For what sin was he excluded from eternal salvation? Just kind of reading over the first time, it seems as if it was because he was rich. But that's actually not his sin. Just being rich isn't a sin. Depends how you use riches. So his sin was actually his selfishness. He's having made an idol out of, you could say, the service of his own self. Self-indulgence to the point of not even noticing the need of someone right next to him, Lazarus, who was under his table, starving to death, and he wasn't even aware of that because so indulged in his own self-seeking satisfaction. So here we have various sins. We have a lack of compassion rooted in this lack of charity, which is stemming out of the selfishness. Then we have gluttony. So in this case, food, sumptuous meals, food sought as an end, but just as the parable, so we can apply to any kind of pleasure, even licit pleasure, but sought as an end, where man seeks that pleasure as his end. So no longer just as a means or something that facilitates, our actions, like eating. We're supposed to eat to live and not live to eat. Whereas this man had evidently, he was a kind of half, basically living to eat. It was kind of an end. The pleasure became an end in itself. That's where we get, forms of sin such as hedonism, where man's whole focus is just finding pleasure, living for pleasure in a very material, sensual sense. That creates an incredible impediment between God and the soul, because you're basically serving yourself. Another sin here is greediness, it's just wanting everything for me, to the point of being unable to share with anyone. Even if I've got surplus, I can't even give the surplus to, in this case, someone who's in need right next to me. I've got all for me. Obviously, all of this then was rooted in pride. It's only I matter. I'm at the center. And usually rooted in pride, we're going to find, anger. So, being unable to bear with difficulties and troubles that turn up, but just being otherwise and upset and angry about that usually goes together with pride. On the other hand, we find Lazarus. So why was Lazarus saved? Was it because he was poor? No. Being poor isn't in itself a title to salvation. It depends how you live the poverty. Poverty embraced for the kingdom of God is certainly a title to salvation. It's something meritorious, something virtuous. But obviously, a poor person could be, they could blame God, they could be upset, they could live that poverty in a non-virtuous manner. So it depends how you live the poverty. But it's implied here, we can understand it, considering that he's actually saved, that he lived this poverty in a virtuous manner. In other words, he, in faith, realizing that this life is not the end, but that there's a higher life to which we're called, in faith, accepted his condition, his suffering, his pain, and offered that to God in an exercise of patience. So here we have a whole series of virtues that are evidently exercised by this poor man under the table of the rich man. So we have faith, which goes together with a supernatural vision. We've got patience. Evidently, he was abandoned to God because he wasn't getting angry. He wasn't getting upset. He was just patiently bearing with what was being done to him, or his lack of things. And then implicitly, there's an exercise on his part of humility, of meekness. So we have here two opposing examples. With one example where self is at the center, I'm at the center, I'm basically serving myself, God is out the picture, and everything revolves around me. That's the substance of the sin of this rich man. Obviously, if that rich man had used his wealth to help Lazarus. In other words, he'd come out of his selfishness and, you know, began to share, began to exercise himself in charity, and in the holy fear of God, began to try to please God in the way he used his riches. Well, he could easily have been saved. So everything depends how we, you know, how we set things up in the intention with which we use them. We're using the things of this world as an end, with ourselves as the final end, we're getting things wrong. But if we're using everything to serve God for his glory, and within that to serve our neighbor, well, that's going to be getting things right. How much we need to ask our Blessed Mother for the grace to acquire the virtues and to, you know, eradicate from our souls any trace of vice and of bad inclination. These make up, you know, sort of just almost the bulk of our spiritual life on a practical level. You know, our will can be inclined to good or inclined to evil. That's exactly what vice and virtue is. It's an acquired inclination to actions that are morally good or morally unsound. So we've got to be very careful about the way we act. And looking at Jesus and Mary, seeing their virtues, you know, we hear our Lord say, "Learn from me, who am humble and meek of heart." So our Lord himself exhorts us to imitate his humility, his meekness. And we see in him so many other virtues. We've got to sort of know these virtues, study them, meditate upon them, beg him for the grace to acquire these virtues within us. This, you know, that's the substantial part of imitation of Christ. It means imitating the way he does things, imitating his virtues. It's a substantial part of our imitation of Mary, imitating her virtues. On a practical level, that's what it means, doing things the way she does them. That's the first and a key part of our sanctification. So these need to be asked for from Our Lady. Many times people think, well, you know, I've heard that so many times. Someone says, for example, "I was getting patient, but I asked Our Lady for the grace to be patient, and she didn't answer me. I just keep getting impatient." That's actually not the way it works. If you ask her for the grace, the grace that she gives isn't just making that tendency disappear. It's a sufficient grace so that if you want, you can do the exercise necessary to acquire this virtue. But you're going to have to do that exercise. It's something like, you know, if I want to run a marathon, I'm going to have to have some kind of training to get myself in shape to run that marathon. I can't just lie on the couch every day for a month and then run the marathon. It's just not going to work. The virtues are like that training. It's a training that I've got to do every day with repeated acts. Habituate my will to act, to choose what is good, to act in a way that is, you know, imitating Christ's way of acting and Our Lady's way of acting, you know, their virtues. And so that training, so to speak, that exercise is going to clothe my will with new inclinations. That's exactly what virtue is. It's an acquired inclination to good, and that facilitates everything. So let's bear this all in mind. This is mechanism, it's very important. We can incline ourselves to that which is good and that which is bad in our actions. And we want to incline ourselves to that which is good. Another thing here, which we hear in the first reading, talking about something very similar, now we're talking about this from the book of the prophet Amos. "The rich lying upon beds of ivory, stretched comfortably on their couches, eating lambs taken from the flock," etc. At the beginning, he says, "Woe to the complacent in Zion." So this suggests that not only they were doing these things, serving themselves, but their whole trust, their hope was in these things. And this, you know, brings us to another sin of the rich man that we can kind of draw out of his situation. He's placing his whole hope in the things of this world. That's it. Now, that is the full extension of my hope, the things I have. And isn't that just so common, you know, in our modern world, where man puts all his faith, or you could say all his hope, in the things of this world? So if those things are touched in any way, we just go into crisis. You know? We need to place our hope in God, found our hope in him, and in our Blessed Mother, who is, you know, our mother. She's mediatrix of all graces. She's the Queen of Heaven. Last consideration regards the last line of this gospel that we read, where the rich man, you know, asks Abraham to send someone back from the dead to go and warn his brothers. And Abraham says, if they will not listen to Moses and to the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. It's interesting to note that Jesus raised someone from the dead called Lazarus. In other words, he actually did what that rich man asked for from Abraham. He actually made Lazarus, same name, rise from the dead. And what happened? They didn't listen. They weren't convinced. Remember how many actually, so later on in the gospel writers say that on account of Lazarus's resurrection, they tried all the more to kill Jesus. So exactly as Abraham says, even if someone rises from the dead, they're not going to believe. So here we encounter that which is just simply bad will. If our world is just sincerely seeking truth, sincerely seeking to love God, it's just going to be open to receive the signs and the graces and the illuminations that He sends to draw us to Him. Whereas if it's some kind of bad will, I just don't want truth, I close my heart to it, I'm at the center, we're not going to see the signs, even if someone should rise from the dead, as exactly happened, you know, at the time of our Lord with the resurrection of Lazarus. So here we want to ask from our Lord the grace to have this openness of heart, this goodwill, goodwill which is docile in our minds, minds open to the truth that God teaches, our will open to His law, His love, His will. And for all of this, let us turn to our Blessed Mother, mediatrix of all graces. Our acquisition of virtue is not something we do on our own. We have a mother who possesses the fullness of virtue, who so desires to assist us in this. You know, as a mother clothes her own children, so she wishes to clothe us in her virtues. In other words, she wants to be present and assist us in clothing ourselves in virtue, acquiring the Christian virtues. So let us ask her for this grace. And may she be always before the eyes of our mind as a model of Christian virtues. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.